I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Lukenya Hills campsite in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, and we continue apace talking about the continent of Africa. And today we focus on the colonial history of Germany in the continent of Africa. When the European powers assembled in 1884 through to the early parts of 1885, at the behest of Otto von Bismarck, it was the beginning of the scramble for the continent of Africa. And during that period, historians suggest that Bismarck himself was not so very keen on having territory in the continent of Africa, but he was then persuaded. And persuaded as he was, he led Germany in acquiring territories in different parts of Africa, so that Germany had an interest in what is present-day Togo. They were present in Cameroon, and they were present in the East African part in Tanganyika. The German presence was also to be found in what is present-day Namibia, Southwest Africa. And I think their presence there was perhaps the more dominant in terms of the activities that they undertook there. The Germans were vicious, like all colonizers. And stories are told, and these are verifiable, that like all colonizers, it was resource informed. And the resources entailed, among other things, that the local population had to, in certain cases, to be annihilated. Indeed, it is now recorded and agreed that the first Holocaust or massacre of peoples took place in what is present day Namibia, when the Herero, half of the Herero population was exterminated and the Namaqua population was exterminated. And if anybody doubted that apartheid started only after that, indeed the Germans did separate the ethnicities so that in areas such as Windhoek, the Herero were separate, the Nama were separate, and that in many ways has remained a legacy of the Germans. Outside of what is present-day Namibia or Southwest Africa, as it was known in those early days, the Germans were also present in Tanganyika. And in Tanganyika, their influence was evident through the spread of the Lutheran Church. And of course, they also decimated population. The 1907 Maji Maji Rebellion in Tanzania was actually a response to the Germans. And they continued their activities in Cameroon, as I've already indicated, in Togo, and part of Togo subsequently was to be lost after the World War in between 1914 to 1918. The Germans were defeated, and when they were defeated in 1919 under the Treaty of Versailles, all the German territories were transferred to the League of Nations and transferred to different countries. That was the historical presence of the Germans in the continent of Africa. And what they did outside of the history is something that remains as an indelible negative mark in the history of the continent of Africa. As we already know, when they were in Namibia, what they did was to engage in this massacre and even took stuffed bodies of the Herero, which until very recently were to be found in museums in Germany. And the Germans, of course, did not last, as I've already said, beyond the year 1918, but their influence remains. When one visits Namibia today, over anything between 60% and 70% of the land in Namibia is owned by persons of German origin. You only have to visit the cities and even the name, Walvis Bay. The Bay of the Whales is still very much German names. And if you go to places like Swakopmund, you still find that the Germans are very present there, and German culture, and of course the farms are owned by individuals of German descent. In Windhoek, you still see the German presence in those spaces. Impact of the Germans is the spread of the Lutheran Church in spaces where they were. And in Tanzania, one finds quite a number of individuals who are of the Lutheran faith. So the Germans may have departed the colonial space in the 1918s, courtesy, of course, of the Versailles Treaty, but their presence remained in a very subtle way and with very sad memories. In the recent past, there have been an attempt to have the Germans apologize for the activities in which they engaged in. There have been an attempt at ensuring that they do what we now know as reparation. And I believe not in the too long distant past, they did make what they described as an ex gratia to the government of Namibia as a way of atoning for their sins, which included the massacre of the Nama and the Herero. So let us ask ourselves, during the short period that the Germans were present in the continent of Africa, why is it that their presence sometimes is not focused on as indeed we do other colonizers? When the Germans left, or when the Germans were present between the latter part of the 19th century, their presence was not for more than 60 years. And therefore, even in terms of the impact of the language, you don't see German speakers in their former colonies, say in Namibia or in Cameroon or in Togo or in Tanganyika. And the reason is simply because there was no opportunity for them to impact their language and to impose their language. But you see certain things that are very interesting, that monuments are still alive and well in terms of reminding the population that the Germans were present in those spaces. And even in countries such as Kenya, where they did not have a foothold, German explorers did make their foray into certain spaces in the coastal part of Kenya. But because they had problems in the continent of Europe, their presence was thus delimited. So the German cultural influence was not like their other European counterparts, because they had great opposition when they lost the World War in Europe in the 1900s, early 1900s to be exact, in 1918. So the other thing that one sees about German, and this is to be very evident in Namibia, and I think Namibia stands out as the single place where German influence is still very evident, even in terms of architecture. When one visits Windhoek, when one visits Swakopmund, you see names that are indeed German names. You see in Swakopmund monuments to those who fought in the war, who are of German origin. And this tells you that even when they were taken out of the continent courtesy of the Treaty of Versailles and the League of Nations, their foothold still remained and is evident in those areas. In Tanganyika, their evidence is not there. And of course, when the Maji Maji Rebellion came in and the British were very aggressive in terms of ensuring that the German legacy was eliminated, their presence once again is very limited, and limited in the sense that you do not find any monuments or significant monuments that are testament to the German presence. But you'll find in Kenya, ironically, that the Germans did have some foray, and you find certain words, even in the Kiswahili language, which have a German origin, like the word Schule, which is the word for school, is actually derived from the German language, which says Schule. And the Germans were present, and indeed, if you are in Nairobi, you'll see in certain areas around what is now called Runda, there is even a complete German school, which is the historical connection that gives you the foray that they had in the eastern part of Africa. And of course, in terms of religion, I've already indicated that the Germans, as the others, were spreading their religion, because this is something that was very typical of all the colonizers. As the saying goes, the flag always followed the cross. It is also significant that when African countries regained independence, I do not know whether the Germans were atoning for their sins of omission and commission. One of the very first countries to recognize Kenya's independence was actually Germany. And that is why in the Kenyan dispensation, they are number one in the diplomatic listing in terms of how they register motor vehicles. So when one assesses the German influence in the colonial space, one will find a German that was here, like all other colonizers in the central part of Africa, in the western part of Africa, in the southern part of Africa, in the eastern part of Africa, as I've already indicated, not only in Tanganyika, but in Rwanda and Burundi, present in terms of their architecture, present in terms of their spirituality through religion, present in terms of what they perpetrated in Tanzania in 1907 with the Maji Maji Rebellion, present in what they perpetrated in Namibia between 1904 and 1908 through the massacre of the Herero and the Nama, and all these factors conjoined does tell us that the Germans were present here, they were colonizers, and like all colonizers, they do owe a duty of care, if you may, to the colonized peoples, because the territories that they colonized, like Namibia, ended up in the hands of apartheid South Africa. And in Cameroon, the sections of the Cameroon that were surrendered to the English still are going through difficulties. We know the difficulties that have taken place in Rwanda and Burundi, the major massacres, those are traceable to the presence of the Germans in the continent of Africa, however one chooses to look at it. So the Germans were here. They were colonizers. It must never be lost on us that it is on their soil, in Berlin, that Africa was partitioned in the manner that she is today. And she continues to suffer the pain of the arbitrary partition of her land and the division of her peoples. Historians are now clear that when the Germans entered the land that is now known as Namibia, then known as German West African Territory, they were looking for minerals, and they were seen as oppressors by the populations that they found there, particularly the Herero and the Nama. And they wanted labor. And what they would do is to transport populations from different parts of Namibia to make them work the mines and do what was in the interest of the Germans. And because there was resistance from these populations, they then entered into an act of extermination. And it is the men and women who were exterminated. The women, of course, were married by the Germans. And indeed, there are very many people of mixed heritage in Germany, as rather in Namibia, as a result of the German destruction. So the whole idea was to exterminate the entire population. Historians are clear that almost half of the population of Namibia, the Herero and the Nama, were exterminated. And the other thing that they did was to create animosity between the communities, so that even today, in the 21st century, if you visit places in Namibia, you'll see that the idea you put the Hereros on one side, the Nama on one side, and you divided them, created animosity, and exterminated them to send a clear warning that if you don't do what is in the bidding of the Germans, we will kill you, and we will kill you to send a clear message to your people. And it is recorded before the Holocaust in 1945. This was the first Holocaust or the first massacre or the first genocide in the 20th century perpetrated by the Germans. Ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with our discussions on the continent of Africa, covering diverse subjects in an intimate fashion, but we take a break and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.